Gospel. I meant to put a couple other slides in there tonight, but I forgot them. I think we can make do. Anyways, we're going to talk about the empty tomb. Start off with the same slides we start off with every single week. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you're being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So what's the gospel that Paul preached? What's the gospel that the Corinthians received? What's the gospel that was saving the Corinthians? What's the gospel the Corinthians held fast? Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Yeah, you've heard it a few times. You've heard it a few times. It's got to be the same thing. It's not a trick. Someday it'd be a trick question. Not here. There you go. And the trick question, and what we've been working on, we looked at who Jesus was. We looked at some of the miracles he performed. We looked at his trials. We've looked at the his crucifixion. We've looked at, after he died, the confirmation that he died by putting him into a tomb. Like it talks about in verse 2 up there, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And this is something that we're responsible for too. Is this true? You know, for us to be Christians, for us to be saved, for us to have the same blessings the Corinthians had, we have to believe it and not just say, yeah, that sounds good to me, but we have to be convicted that it's true. And as we look through this, the more and more you look at it, the deeper you look at it, I think it's harder and harder to say, no, it's just it's a gimmick. You know, it's more than that. So hopefully that's what you guys are getting out of it. I'm getting a lot of that out of it. So last week, we discussed the burial of Jesus' body in Matthew 27, 59 through 60. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he cut into rock. He rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mark 15, 46, and Joseph bought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that has been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Luke 23, 53 through 54, then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. So, describe Jesus' body and describe the tomb. What's that? Okay, it's never been used. Tomb has never been used. Is there something about it? What else? Wrapped in a clean linen cloth. What do you think that looks like? Or a shroud? Wrapped around him like this, right? Probably white. You know, I think that's a good answer. I would guess.
The tomb was out of stone.
The tomb was out of stone. Look at that. Two for one. Tomb is stone. Probably white. That'd be a guess of mine. I'd imagine it's white to light. Linen typically is, right? It's kind of beige to white somewhere in there.
Most of us will not be buried in a stone tomb.
Most of us, yes.
Maybe all of us.
Yeah, you never can tell. The most and all, you're probably right. The Shroud of Turin, that's right. It's Italy, isn't it? Is that where it's at, Italy? You ever seen that thing? Yeah, the artists always make it white. Yeah, I've seen the Shroud of Turin. I would say somebody's been buried in that thing. It's got... Oh, he looks just like an artist. Just exactly like his driver's ID, and his Facebook page. If you follow his Twitter account, he looks just like that.
I saw on the internet just last few hours, the man that painted the caricature of Uncle Sam.
Uh-huh.
His face, because he was too cheap to hire a model.
Face of Uncle Sam. It's his own face. Too cheap to hire a model. That's nice. I like that. I joked about Twitter. I ran across a guy that calls himself God on Twitter, and he follows one person and one person only. Anybody want to take a guess on who God follows on Twitter? Obviously, it's not God, but who somebody claims. Go ahead. Take a guess on who that one person would be. That's a good guess, but it's close. Anybody else want to guess? Oh, no, it's not George Bush. It's it's Justin Bieber. Yeah, he follows Justin Bieber. You said Miley Cyrus.
If you came face to face with the devil, you'd have horns.
I doubt it. I doubt it. Artist conceptions of that stuff, hey, you know, that's how it rolls. So, all right, we got him wrapped in linen shroud, linen cloth wrapped around him. New stone tomb. Yeah, that's what we see right here. John 19, 38 through 42. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, and as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. So we got a few more clues from John about the scene. What else we got? Yeah, you're right. They did it like they would have done any other Jew. The myrrh and the aloes, the spices, they wrapped them up in that. They treated them, you know, like that. We want to get this done before the Sabbath. We want to get this done right now. If it was far away, that probably wouldn't happen. But it was, since it was close, they went ahead and did it. Yeah, it was in a garden. That's a good clue too. Okay. 75 pounds of spices. That's a lot of spices. You know, that's about what Camille's cornbread dressing tastes like. I don't like that stuff, so I can say that. That's a lot of spices. That's a lot of money. You go try to buy a pound of cinnamon or something, you know.
Don't talk about your mom's cooking.
My mom don't make cornbread stuff. That's Camille's cooking. I can talk about that. Yes, come on. Yeah. That's right. She can cook it all she wants. I just don't want to eat it. So, anyways. That's right. It's the only thing that can save me now. She knows I don't like cornbread stuffing. That's just how it is. So anyways, we see all that. We see this about it. You know, like that. Joseph and Nicodemus, they take a lot of time and a lot of care to put him in the tomb. Okay? These, again, are eyewitnesses that he's dead. They flipped him. They wrapped him. They put the spices on him. There are more eyewitnesses to the whole thing. Matthew 27:61, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Mark 15:47, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Luke 23:55-56, the women who had come with him from Galilee followed him and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. So who were the witnesses to Jesus' burial? Mary Magdalene. All right. A lot of Marys. I heard Glenda say that. Not that Mary. Okay. So a bunch of the women, the same ones that saw him crucified, right? They were standing afar off, but they saw him crucified. They saw where he was buried. They saw that he was there. They saw where it was. More witnesses that it was done. All right. Think it's a scam? Think it's a setup? Think it's some kind of con? What would it take to not bury him, to let him just walk away? If he hadn't really died, what would it take to let him walk away, and we act like this whole thing went on. Is it possible? Soldiers were there too. That's a good point right there. They were there because that's where we're going to the next verse. Bob?
It was one on his right and one on his left.
Yeah. You know, they were there. I don't know if they lived long enough to see this part. But he was all wrapped up. But, yeah. No. You couldn't walk all wrapped up. I've seen it in the movies, but. No. Zombies, mummies. Yeah, you get this thing. For the conspiracy that he didn't really happen, that's not real viable logic. That maybe he just acted like it. Matthew 27, 62 through 66. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it secure as you can." So they went out. They went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. So on what day did the chief priests and Pharisees go to Pilate? The Sabbath. Working, right? Working hard on the Sabbath. Make commit more crimes. All right. Were the chief priests and Pharisees aware of the prophecy of the Messiah rising again? They're aware of this prophecy. Do you think they believed it? Do you think they worried about it? They're worried. Otherwise, why else would they go to this bother? If they weren't worried about it, why go to the bother? So what's their plan? Get the big rock in front of it, seal it. You're going to put fresh clay around the seam, fill that all in, then the big signet ring, the big seal, the government seal that says, you know, same as you would see on a letter or a document, that seal says, this is it. This is, you know, if it's broken, it's broken. But this kind of confirms that nobody got in and nobody got out. We used to go on field trips when I was in the band. They put tape across the hotel room doors. Don't break the tape, you're going home. So that was the rules. So, same kind of idea. So what do they admit in verse 64? They admit it's fraud. "Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he's risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate says, make it as secure as you can. It's almost like he's got doubts. Do your best. Make it as rock solid as you can, but I don't know. All right. Trial is probably the first fraud. I guess you can look at it two different ways. It can be them saying he was a fraud in life, he'll be a fraud in death, or they can be admitting to the fact that they had a fraud of a trial and that he was fraudulently killed. And so, I don't know. There's two different ways to look at it. But the word fraud shows up in there pretty easy. All right. I was going to put the slides with these verses on there. What I'd like to do is get four different people to read Matthew 28, 1 through 8. Don't worry about the last verses. Mark 16, 1 through 8. Luke 24, 1 through 8. John 20, 1 through 10. I like four different voices. I like four different people. One, Kirk says he'll read one. Which one do you read, Kirk? Matthew 1, 20. Okay, who's doing Mark? Weldon's got Mark. Who wants to do Luke? Mike Wall's got Luke. Who wants John? Okay, Henry's got John. Go ahead, Kirk.
"Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guard
Good. Thanks. Here you go, Kirk. No, we'll stop right there. 11 through 15 is a little different. All right, Weldon's doing Mark.
Said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Thank you. Mike can read Luke.
Luke 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Verse 12.
No, don't worry about the 12th part. I don't think. Read 12.
12 is about Peter. Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at that which had happened.
Okay, Henry, you got John.
John 20. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. And the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter therefore also came, followed him, and entered the tomb. And he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then entered in therefore the other disciple also, who had first come to the tomb, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. John is the other disciple.
Yep, John's the other disciple. Thank you. All right. In a period of 5 minutes, you heard the same story told by four different voices. Was it one story or was it four stories? It's four versions of the same story, right? On my way home from work today, I was sitting at the traffic light at Walmart and Wendy's and Burger King right there, and a truck with a trailer made a U-turn right there, coming out of the old Roach House, and carrying stuff out of that, and dropped a good chunk of his load right there on the ground. But he continued to go. It was dirt and insulation and pipe and wire, and it was on fire. So he's right in front of me, and the little ramps that were at the end of his trailer would hit the road, and you could hear him, and the stuff would fly up. The faster he drove, I think he had a bearing out on one of the wheels, and it was smoking and catching on fire. This kind of stuff happens all the time, but different people see this stuff and they see different things. You know, I'm the car behind him, so I see it from a different point of view than the guy's coming. They're wondering where the smoke's coming from. This is kind of what you see with these stories. When you start looking at the four versions of it, you got to start putting the pieces together, because you'll see they don't exactly match up. And I'll be honest with you, I've been trying to put the time frame, you know, put it into one single storyline. There's a couple different ways you can look at the storyline. And I won't guarantee that the storyline I put together is absolutely correct. But the details are absolutely correct. We'll go with it from there. I saw some other alternate storylines. They didn't make as much sense to me, so I went with what I thought made sense to me.
Oh, an interesting thing, John was there.
John was there. You're right.
He ran to the tomb. Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
They got it secondhand. You're right. They got it from God's inspiration, but they didn't, like you said, John was absolutely an eyewitness. Ah, that's a good question. Let's find out. All right. Try to do them all at the same time, like I said, and try to get the timeline right. If it's wrong, I'll take blame for that. Matthew 28:1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Mark 16:1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. Luke 24:1. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. John 21, at least the first part. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark. What day of the week is it? First day. Somebody says first day over here first. Who was it? Henry. Here you go. All right. First day of the week. What day is the first day of the week? Sunday. We had this discussion actually on Sunday, what the first day of the week was, and almost everybody in the class agreed that first day of the week was Sunday, and one person said that God was timeless and it didn't matter. I'm going to say it does. So anyways, Marion?
Mm-hmm. And God was also in charge of how all these events got portrayed, and whether one of these writers was there or not,
it's still all jives.
He had factual information either by divine direction,
yep,
or however God chose to do it.
However God chose to do it, he got the facts. You're right. This all... No.
They were inspired to write what they wrote, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And I was pointing out that Doug was talking about accounts that people have. You know, if you've ever been in a court of law, somebody that was actually there gets more credence than someone who just saw it from afar.
But that example doesn't wash here.
Doesn't wash here, but it's like I'm looking at Gary. I can tell what's in Gary's shirt pocket, but Weldon can't. If me and Weldon both give a description of Gary, I see what's in his pocket, but he doesn't. His description wouldn't include what's in his pocket. They don't contradict each other. They just see things from four different sides. Like I said, John was there. He'll have details that the other ones don't, but it's all by inspiration, and it all jives together. Sure. You're right. And they're written for different reasons, for different audiences. Even from different backgrounds. And they're fine. At first glance, you'll see some things that... You'll see some things. Good call. Oh, Lauren, you want to get that one. It's on our lane. At first glance, you'll see some. And if you read, I mean, the world likes to say these things make them lies. But we put them together, it makes one complete story. It can't be. If there's one conflict, it's all wrong. So.
Now, if the stone was already in place,
You get two because I have that question coming up, so you beat me to it.
Oh.
Exactly. What? So they got these spices, this group of women, they're going to go to a place that's got a stone pushed in front of it, and they say it's, although one guy rolled the stone in front, it took more, took a group of men to move the stone away. What were they going to do when they got there? They couldn't move it. They don't know about the guard. They don't know about the seal. But what was their plan? Who? Yeah, probably so.
But this isn't a good plan. Tell women to go and tell the gospel because women were not trusted. They thought they were too hysterical.
Yeah, you're right, and they see that. When they come back towards the end, they come back with the story. This is what we saw, and the apostles themselves are like, no. Yeah, you're right. It's not a good plan. It can't be the plan that they would have the gospel and go tell it. It doesn't hold. In that time frame, it doesn't hold as much value as the men seeing it. So, yeah, and again, that's an audience, but that's how it works. So it's a Sunday. It's the first day of the week. What time is it? Early, before the sun comes up, right? It's still dark. Is that Jewish timekeeping or Roman timekeeping? Yeah, you're right. Depends on which gospel. Before dawn or the first day of the week, Jewish timekeeping, the first day of the week would have started Saturday night. Looking at dawn of the first day of the week, he's looking at Roman timekeeping because that's when that day will start. That's in Matthew. Luke says, but on the first day of the week. So in Matthew, the first day of the week hadn't started according to Roman timekeeping. But in Luke, it's already started because it's Jewish timekeeping. It's all about how it starts, who's keeping time. Who came? We've talked about this, but you got Mary Magdalene, you got Mary, a whole bunch of Marys. Yeah, Salome, somebody else in there. Yeah, well, that's good enough. Bunch of people. And it looks like even there might be more that just aren't named. Matthew 28:2-4. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. How was the stone rolled away? An angel. Okay. An angel rolled the stone away. Okay.
Not really to answer, but just to ponder on.
Okay. Who's the best kind?
Who witnessed this?
Yeah, who witnessed this? We got witnesses, right?
And what time of day was it?
Okay. Who witnessed it? What time of day is it?
The
guards witnessed it because they come like dead.
Well, I bet they didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
What are they doing?
Yeah. You try to find a prayer on here on Sunday morning, somebody to do a prayer, you'll find the church is full of women. Trust me. Trust me. They're always there.
There's a large following of women. I believe it's in Acts chapter 1. It mentions that, we often hear about just the 12 or I guess the 11 at that time who were up in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit ascended, but if you read all around it, there were far more than that there.
Yeah. Big group. They're everywhere. They are part of it. They carry it. You see later with Timothy, his mother and grandmother are praised. They carry the faith. They still do today. Okay, so what time of day is it?
Early morning.
You're right. It's dark. How was the stone rolled away? Why was the stone rolled away? So for witness is to get in, not for Jesus to get out, right? Yeah. Don't miss that. It's not there for Jesus to walk out. Ta-da! It's to let witnesses in. Describe the angel. Go ahead, Bert.
Mm-hmm. It's
the second time. They're coming, not the next day, but the day after. They're coming with more stuff to put on his body.
So how many times they normally do this, baby?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's very unusual.
It's unusual by today's standards. It's unusual by today's standards. He wasn't embalmed. And they would probably learn that from the Egyptians, since, you know, coming out of slavery out of Egypt. They would probably learn that. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. That's not something that I'm an expert in and didn't look into it. But yeah, it is something we see that seems a little strange. Mike?
I think I remember probably speculation that they weren't able to finish.
Because of time? Okay. They weren't able to finish, so this comes back to finish the thing. Because there's no decay for 3 days, I think is what I hear from science. Yeah, you know, they knew about Joseph of Arimathea. No, it says they watched. They knew where the tomb was, and they saw where the body was laid. They knew. 75 pounds, it's a lot of stuff in it. Without it being removed, just disappear, be in another spot somewhere. Yeah, we see that later, especially when he's resurrected. We see. It's moved just so they can see in. It's not for him to get out.
They didn't roll a stone for him to get out.
Nope, not at all. All right, describe the angel. What's he look like? Clothing's white as snow, like Mary had a little lamb's lamb. Okay.
But he rolled the stone away, he sat on it.
Sat on it? What else? What's he else look like? Looks like lightning. What's lightning look like? What color is lightning?
Bright.
Look, white. You sure it's white?
Well, it looks white to me when I see it.
Are you sure?
White lightning.
Orange.
White lightning. We know where she's from. Lighting is very brightly colored. Typically, we look at lighting as white. I've seen lightning that's blue, purple, pink, green. Lightning comes in. I saw the other day that through science they have a picture of what thunder looks like, and I didn't go into reading the whole thing of what how they did that. But anyways, yes, white as snow. His clothing was white as snow. That's pretty white. It's not the snow on the side of the highway that's been there all winter. It's white snow. What's the response of the guards? Scared, how bad? Came like dead. That's pretty scared. That's pretty scared. I've been scared, but I can't say that I've ever been scared to become like a dead guy. I would say they at least passed out. At least that much. Yeah. I'm sure, yeah, you can hit YouTube and find 100 videos of people passing out at weddings. Best man, just dropping up, you know. I've been in weddings when the ring bearers shake those rings. Had to take them away from kids. Yeah.
They've got accounts, history, that's like World War I, World War II, where soldiers under such extreme stress, fear of dying, just fear of period, where all their hair, even on their arms, start white overnight.
Wow.
Yeah,
there you go. I like that. Kyle said they got accounts of soldiers in war being so scared that their hair all turned white from the fear. That's scary. That's scary. And I would say like that, it says like dead men. Yeah. Whatever you've seen, the most scared you've ever seen somebody, it's worse than that.
And they had strict orders not to let anybody in that town. They had to be terrified to die.
Yeah. The baddest of the warriors in the world, and their orders are strictly don't let anybody in that tomb. They're not even trying to fight the guy. They ain't nobody jumping up. Hey, you distract him and I'll get him from behind. Nothing. That's how scared they were. Bob? Yeah. Yeah, that's how dead they are. It's so bad that death's not even a worry at this point. Mike?
One thing about this whole story is nothing's going according to anybody's plan except God's.
You're right. It's all going to God's plan, according to God's plan. Yeah, the women. The women, their plan, it can't possibly work unless the stone's rolled away. The guards, Pilate, the chief priests, you're right. None of them's plan is working out. And that's what we're seeing. Ain't nothing can hold him. Matthew 26:53, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father who at once will send me more than 12 legions of angels? So I actually looked up legion for a change. And legion apparently is 6,000. I saw that Roman legions didn't typically have 6,000 because they didn't all show up. Whatever that means. But anyways, so if this one guy, one angel comes and he does this much damage, he takes on basically 10 centurions for nothing. They faint away like dead guys. What if 72,000 angels showed up? All right? You're right. It's just over. It's over for everybody, anybody and over everybody. There's something to think about. Mark 16:2-3. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? So what time is it now? The sun's come up, right? Banker's hours. Listen to Bob. Like Bob knows anything about banker's hours. Okay. Yeah. The sun's come up now. The women are talking amongst each other, and they're on the way there. Who's going to roll away the stone? They don't know about the seal. They don't know about the guards. But they're still, we're on our way, but our plan wasn't really that great. Who are we going to get to do this? It just makes it worse. Yeah. Excuse me, Mr. Soldier. Could you lay down that sword and spear and help me with this rock? What do you think? Come on, I'm nice. They wouldn't have known about that. Those guys went afterwards. Yeah. So they wouldn't know. Mark 16:4, and looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. Luke 24:2, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. John 21, second part, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. What do you think the first thing that came out of one of them's mouth when they saw that? I mean, really, wouldn't
you have been dumb?
Like a dead woman, like the dead men, right? Yeah.
Speechless.
Look, yeah, speechless. Who knows? All kinds of things would be running through her head. Why is that open? Who's been here? What's happened to Jesus? She just sees a hole. She doesn't know anything that's happened at this point.
Grave robbers back then.
Sure.
Like they are now.
Yeah.
You might have thought of somebody.
Grave robber, body snatcher. Bob?
Well, it's the same thing. All of this that's going on. But now, if you let him go, like you said in the beginning, walk away. You're already gone. He would have, this had to happen no matter what. It would have happened a different way, but this had to happen. He had to shed his blood. They don't realize that this had to really happen. So if they gave him a clean walk, it still was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but that, But the world's conspiracy today is that it didn't happen. The conspiracy at the time, the Jews, their story is, he's not the Savior. It didn't happen. The world's story today is, it didn't happen. But it's recorded, and it's for us to believe that it happened. An angel said to the woman, Matthew 28, 5-6, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. These are the same angels. Here, you know, it's the same angel that scared the centurions to death. He says, don't be afraid. Yeah. If the body's not in the tomb, there's three possible explanations. And if you can come up with another one, go for it. Either disciples stole it, his enemies stole it, or he's risen from the dead. And quite honestly, if you start thinking about the motivation from between any of the other sides stealing it, they don't really hold up. So I'm not going to get into that tonight, but that's something I'd like to do a night on what the scoffers say. So, Mark 16, 5, beginning, and entering the tomb, Luke 24, 3, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Mark 16, 5, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. While they were perplexed about this, Luke 24, 4, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. So when they go in on the right side, well, and they don't see Jesus, on the right side, it says either, in Mark, there's a young man, which is an angel, sitting, or in Luke, there's two angels standing. Like I said, they're not in contradiction. It could have happened at different times. It can be the fact, you know, what happens a minute after the other one. Sometimes some of these guys, you'll find that they singularize something that's two because only one mattered. But anyways, I'm not going to get into it. Mark 16, 6, and he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Luke 24, 5 through 8, as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. Luke's a doctor. Coming back to life doesn't make sense to him. You know, as a man. For him to record this is something that, one, like we say, it's God inspired, but it's also something that he had to believe. Matthew 28, 7 through 8, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, there you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Mark 16, 7 and 8, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. John 22, so she ran and went to Simon Peter, the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him. So the angels tell them, go back and tell everybody else. But he gives them hope, too, because he says, you will see him. Luke 24, 9 through 11, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to all the rest. That was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. So the women go back to the apostles, and the apostles are like, no, come on. And that inspires them to in Luke 24:12, Peter rose and ran to the tomb. John 20:3-5, so Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb, both of them running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. So Peter and John run to the tomb. They look in. They don't quite go in. What verb is used to describe the linen cloths? What were they doing? They were lying there, okay? All right, Cindy's a teacher. She's going to back me up on this one. This is one of these terrible words in the English language. Lie and lay. Is there anybody who could possibly get these two correct? No. Nobody could ever get these two words together. If you say stuff's laying there or lying there, the same as a body is laying there or lying there, that's how people talk. But their words are different. Coughlin's commentary kind of points this out. But To lie means to recline. We lie. We put stuff is to lay. You lay stuff, you lie yourself. So the cloths were lying there like a person. Okay? Like a person. If you change that verb, don't change the gospel, but to change it to understand it. If it said the cloths were standing there, or the cloths were sitting there, you might have a better understanding of what they were doing. If my body disappeared, and these jeans and this beautiful $5 shirt were still here, like this, not crumpled in the floor, not folded, but still with the full body, and that Kaufman's commentary kind of points out that that's the way it is. When you look at the verb, that's what it is. These guys looked into a stone tomb. If I lay in the dirt, I'll leave a mark. If I lay in the grass, I'll leave a mark. If I lay in a stone tomb, you can't tell if I've been there or not. What was it they saw that made them believe? If you saw cloths still with the human form, and I never would have thought about that, but that'd be enough to believe. You can see that with John 26 through 7, Simon Peter came, following him, went to the tomb, saw the linen cloths lying there, but the face cloth had been folded and it was separate. Where is it? Missed a verse right there. Maybe it was back here. Oh, one of them says he believed. And I'm missing the verse, trying to hurry up because of the bell. But, there it is. John 20, verse 8. The other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. What did he see? What did he believe? If it was just cloths laying there, it's just cloths. But something's different there. Anyways, whatever they see, they don't go out searching for a body. They don't, it says they don't understand or recall that he said he would raise from the dead. Whatever, you know, they see enough to believe that he is raised from the dead right there on the spot. I got one section to go through. Matthew 28, 11 through 15. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. When they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night, stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to you, if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as were directed, and this story has been spread among the Jews today. So part of the guard stayed, part of the guard went to town. They brought the story. The chief priests hear this story. They don't think it's a lie. They know, you know, the first thing to do, we got to come up with some kind of cover-up. They call in the other elders. They offer these guys money. Here, take this money and tell this story. Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. What's wrong with that lie? Who can you identify while you are asleep? Nobody, right? Nobody. That's what's wrong with that lie. If you're a parent, you already hear these lies. Kaufman's commentary asks if there's ever been another grave guarded for fear of resurrection. And he puts us on Satan, and he says, why would Satan want a guard posted? That way he's got witnesses. You know, Satan's got witnesses on his side, and it doesn't work out. But the story that's told amongst the Jews says the body was stolen. That story is still told today. That's Satan's story, not ours. All right, next week, I got two choices. Did Jesus really rise from the dead, or did he die for our sins? Whichever direction you guys want to go. Anybody got a preference? No preference? All right. We'll get to both. Yeah. We'll take a couple weeks. All right, so this is part of it. He died for our sins, like I said, and he was raised. I'm having fun. We'll get it. All right, thank you all. Sorry I'm 5 minutes over, but thanks for sticking with me.